What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Fast and Flow podcast. I'm your host, Fast and Flow, otherwise known as Catherine Kelly, your running bestie, a New York City-based long-distance runner and certified personal trainer and soon-to-be certified run coach. And I also work in corporate strategy at a fitness company, so we are all things fitness over here. Today, we have a very special guest on the podcast. This is actually the first podcast that I've ever recorded on my podcast with someone else. And it's someone who you guys have been waiting for almost a year now since I started the pod, but we have the one, the only Brett Bakey's on the podcast today, my very own fiance, soon to be husband in a few months, which is crazy. Like, I actually can't believe that. Sometimes I still feel like I'm 18 years old and I'm like, I'm getting married. This is crazy, but we're so excited to have Brett on the podcast today. So Brett, why don't you go ahead and give the people the introduction that they've been waiting for?
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Brett grew up in Ohio. I went to Ohio State, the Ohio State University, for college.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks, baby. I moved to New York in 2019 for a job for investment banking. And that's where Catherine and I actually met.
Yeah, that's what started it all, that analyst class. Okay, Brett, so I actually asked everyone on my story yesterday what they wanted to know. So we're making sure we give the people what they want. And literally everyone wrote in, is Brett a runner? Does Brett run competitively? What's Brett's next marathon? Do you guys run together? So give the people a little bit of an explanation here on your running background.
Yeah, I am a runner. I've been running most of my life. Going back to high school, I was a sprinter. That was what I loved. That's what I did. When I went to college at Ohio State, I started running longer distances. We're talking like 3 or 4 miles, nothing crazy. Every run I was going as hard as I could because that's all I knew, that's all I knew how to do from sprinting. And then fast forward, I moved to New York again in 2019 and met Catherine. Catherine, of course, long distance runner. She had already run her first marathon at that point. And I would do, anything it took to make her like me. So I started running longer distances.
She's chasing after me.
A little bit. I'm sure that was part of the motivation. But, I actually really enjoyed running the longer distances. And so she really got me into, running like half marathon, call it distances. And, that's really where I started to fall in love with long distance running.
I think it's interesting because that's such a testament to how much your surroundings and your environment influence what you do, because you had never been around anyone who was doing long distance running, but yet I was at school seeing other people doing long distance running. One of my best friends at school ran long distance and we ran together 5 to 6 days a week, and then I don't even think I was trying to convince you to start running longer, but just by us being together a lot, you kind of started assimilating into that environment, which is so interesting. That's why I always say, if you want to become a better runner or get more structured training, go to run clubs, seek out communities where there are other people who are doing that same thing that you want to be doing, because it's going to feel so much easier when other people in your environment are also doing it.
Or just meet your future wife and that could work too.
Exactly. Maybe now that Strava has DMs, this could actually happen, But anyway, so, and I think lastly, just kind of rounding out your running story here, I wanted to point out that we're very proud of Brett. It was his first marathon, the New York City Marathon 2023. What was your experience like? Because I definitely talked about marathons a decent bit before you had run one, but could I have said anything that would have prepared you for the full marathon distance?
It was my first marathon. There's nothing you could have done to prepare me for that. I gotta say, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. And I've had a very easy life, for the record. But I mean, the last 6 miles or so of that marathon, I have never felt worse, I don't think. Just mentally and just how drained you are, I really hit the wall. And I don't think there's anything you could have done to prepare me for that. I really trained pretty appropriately, at least for the time I had to train. And when it came down to race day, and it's just a different feeling, it's just a different experience. That was extremely difficult.
Absolutely, yeah. When we saw Brett roll back into the apartment after that marathon, I mean, you were looking like you went through something.
That is right. It gives you a lot of respect. It gives you a lot of respect for people that, it's easy to hear people talk about, I've run 3 marathons, 4 marathons, I run a marathon every year. But having actually done it now gives me way more respect.
Absolutely, and it makes me emotional, because when you think about all of those people who are out there running for different reasons, but running with their whole heart and running that distance, it's like that distance is not forgiving. You make one mistake with fueling, one mistake with hydration, one mistake with, like, it's just something that you do on early in the race, and it's tough because you have to repeat that, you know, for 26 miles
or you just make all the mistakes like I did.
But you have to, you know, you have to get them out of your system. And I think it's interesting and it's, like, good that we're talking about someone from the experience of their first marathon, because I think beforehand you had mentioned to me, you know, it was a lot of work, the training. The training was rewarding. You know, you were getting up, crushing 40 to 50 miles per week while being in the office 5 days a week, working a very rigorous job, which was super inspiring for me to see. But you had mentioned, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do this again. Do you still feel that way after running New York, or has your mind changed?
I have the bug, like any runner does. You know, I have the bug, and I want to run another one. I want to do better than I did this last one. I did, as I just alluded to a minute ago, I did a lot of things wrong in this race, and I could have run a much better time. I'm sure you're all wondering, Catherine did beat me by a very good clip.
I have a lot of time to train, though.
I did hit my goal time, but just barely. Yeah, I think I have the bug. I want to run another one. It probably won't be this year. And we can get into, like, prioritization and why that is. But mm-hmm. I do want to run another one at some point in my life, maybe next year, maybe a couple of years down the road.
But something that I do want to point out, something that you just said, like, even though you didn't run a quote-unquote perfect race and you did a lot of things wrong and you were feeling, like, you know, really kind of down in the depths of hell those last few miles, you came back with, like, such a big smile on your face, and you were so proud of yourself, even though you were just probably feeling the worst you've ever felt. And that is a feeling that you can't explain to someone who's never run before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, persevering through that and just finishing the race was one feat in and of itself. But also, like you mentioned, the training and, you know, putting yourself through 40 to 50 miles a week and that rigorous training, waking up early, getting that done while also, you know, pursuing whatever else you have going on, career and my, you know, career and family and whatever else, that's a feat as well.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time.
And you mentioned to me so many times, even during the training, like, how proud of you were for getting up and getting the training done, like, irrespective of ever even getting to the start of the race, you were just so proud of yourself already for the training. And that's, like, you know, I've made training plans for some of my friends who are just getting into running, and they've been worried, what if I do all this training and I don't hit my goal race time and I, you know, something goes wrong? And I'm like, that's not really the point. The point is how proud you are because you showed up for yourself every day during training and you maintain that consistency. And regardless of the outcome of the race, you come out of that 16 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever it is, a different human being.
Yeah, I think that's really well said.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think we need to hop into a little bit more about our story. So I have to ask, I don't know if I've ever actually asked you this before, but what was your first impression of me?
Wow, that's a good question.
Back in 2019.
I gotta say, at the time, you know, and a lot of you won't get this, but Catherine was a bit of a party animal. I'm not gonna lie. She was fresh out of college. And so we were both fresh out of college. We were going out after training at, you know, the investment bank we were working for. And, we were having a good time.
We were having a good time. I think part of the, you know, the problem that started arising was we were still trying to live the college lifestyle. But meanwhile, we were working 60, 70, 80 hour weeks. We were exhausted.
Yeah, we weren't sleeping, obviously drinking. We were not exactly taking care of ourselves. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, there was many other impressions I got from her as well. Like, in training at the investment bank, like, clearly very smart, very capable,
Yeah, I think that, like, I think it's funny because Brett, you know, you started out in Ohio. You always knew you wanted to come to New York. You come to New York to really focus on your job. And then literally the first day of training, we met. And at least from my perspective, I had not interned in investment banking, so pretty much everyone else in our analyst class had. I think everyone else had, actually, and I hadn't. I kind of weaseled my way in there. I'm pretty scrappy, but I weaseled my way in there, and I remember taking the train in. I was still living on Long Island at that time. Thankfully, like, my My home is 30 minutes from Penn Station, and my parents were so kind to let all of us, I'm one of four, I'm the oldest of four, so let all of us live at home for, you know, 6 months after school to get our bearings, save some money. Very thankful for that. I remember being on the train coming in the first morning thinking, I'm going to put my head down, I'm going to stay focused, I'm going to grind, like nothing's going to get in my way. And then lo and behold, I walk into that boardroom the first day, and Brett's sitting in the first row, and I can't see the front of him because he's sitting in seat A1. Like, he's got his pencils, he's got his notebook, his laptop, he's ready to go. I think I rolled up late. I'm in the last row, but I see Brett. You know, when you're single, you're always kind of looking around, see if there's any potential suitors in there. And I don't know, from the back, I just saw he looked really cute, and I knew I wanted to try to talk to him later, but I think it must have been kind of funny for both of us because I don't think either of us were expecting to meet someone that quick.
No, definitely not. It's good to hear the back of my head was a big selling point as well.
He has nice, but, like, really nice hair.
Yeah, I mean, my plan, all jokes aside, my plan was to come to New York, focus on my job for a few years, just put my head down, grind, you know, be single for a while. That didn't happen. Did not happen at all. I mean, sometimes you got to go with the flow and,
Yeah, and I think it's funny because we basically got together that first week. I made the first move, by the way. Brett was being very respectful from the Midwest.
This is her side of the story.
No, I did. So I kind of wasn't used to... I didn't know if Brett liked me because I had never really... I mean, I had never been to Ohio. I hadn't met too many people from Ohio. Let me tell you, people from Ohio are salt of the earth. They're so kind, so nice, and I think my prior experience with men had not been so great. It had kind of been from a New York standpoint. You know, people are just different. And so I couldn't tell if Brett liked me because he was being so respectful.
Turns out I should have been less respectful.
No. But it was just like, I think that's, I was almost like taken aback, but in a good way. I was like, wow, he's so mature, so respectful. And like, yeah, I did have to pursue him that first night.
She did. I'll give you credit. You pushed it over the edge and made it happen.
Yeah, it's funny. We were at a bar in the West Village, I think. And this was like the first place we ever sat down and talked to each other. And for the life of us, we cannot find this bar. Like, we've been looking in the West Village, looking on Google Maps. I cannot find it. I'm like, where did we meet? But anyway, so yeah, that's kind of how we first started off. We were so young, so naive, and actually we started dating, I think I took you to Long Island 3 weeks after we met.
Yeah.
That was also a big thing. I just kind of like threw that out there. I was like, hey, you want to come to Long Island to like golf at my, like with my family? And you just said yes.
It was very quick. We went out to Long Island. I met your family. Yeah, we went to the Hamptons. I met your grandparents. It was
all within like four weeks.
Within a few weeks, and we started dating very quickly. But it's just one of those things. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's just like when you know, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard to explain to other people.
It was just easy.
Yeah.
Like, we were just clicking. It was easy. There was like no question.
I say that a lot when people ask me of like, you know, when we moved in together, people were asking, oh, what's it like living with Brett, you know, living with your significant other? And I truly had nothing to say because it made my life easier. It just felt so easy, you know?
I completely agree.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, also something amazing to point out about relationships. Like, it doesn't have to feel hard. Like, I think the things that we'll go through in our life, like, obviously we're about 5 years into our relationship, we're about to get married, we're going to have, you know, decades and decades to go, and there will be hard things, but it's the hard things that happen, they'll be easier because we can take them on together.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's not to say everything's been easy up to this point. There's been hard things.
True. I was actually thinking, about a year into our relationship, I actually ended up moving to Chicago for a little bit. We didn't know how long I was going to be there, but what were you thinking when, so this, we were maybe a year in, it wasn't a long time. What were you thinking when I decided to move?
It was not a long time. I thought it was a great opportunity for you to go, first of all, live in another city and, you know, get that whole experience living away from New York for the first time for real.
Yeah.
And also it was a great career opportunity as well. So I knew it was a great opportunity for you and wanted you to pursue that. I, you know, things had been clicking. We've been together for a year. I definitely wanted, you know, that to continue as well. But it was definitely a stressful point in the relationship where you're like, okay, now you're going to do distance for a while. You know, is this going to make it through the course of that? There's always that thought.
Yeah, there's always that thought. And I think, it, like, obviously things were clicking, but it was still a year in. We were 22 years old, so we just didn't know. And I think something that, you know, I had never really moved away from New York. I even went to college. I went to college upstate, but I had just been very comfortable, I think, my whole life in terms of where I was living. Always had a support system, which is amazing, but kind of was craving to go out on my own a little bit and try to see if I could live somewhere else and try to not rely on my family and, you know, Brett and other people, which, you know, it's amazing to be able to rely on other people. But I also think at the end of the day, like, you have to be really confident in being able to rely on yourself when things get tough. And so I wanted to teach myself that. And Brett was so supportive in me moving, like, never expressed any resentment, was never trying to make me feel bad for wanting to move, never made it about him, was like, this is such a good opportunity for you. If you want to do it, I support you 100%. And I think that to me was really, really important, because that could, if you know, that could have taken it in a totally different direction. So I moved to Chicago for a little bit. I actually can remember the day that we had the conversation where I said, you know, I want to move back to New York. I want to move in with you. His lease was
maybe the best day of my life. I don't know.
We were actually sitting in a little, like, bar, almost speakeasy thing in Chicago, and we were having a conversation. And obviously my job was in Chicago. I had a lease in Chicago. I, you know, had moved there with one of my best friends who had coincidentally also gotten a job there. But I was sitting down, and Brett, again, had never pressured me, but I sat down and I said, I've been thinking a lot about it, like, since the last time we saw each other, and I know your lease is ending, and I don't want you to sign another lease with your roommate, because, you know, there was kind of a tipping point there where you had to sign another lease, and I said, I want to move back. And I think that was, you know, like, kind of, I guess, from your perspective, you know, what was that like, you know, thinking about moving in with your significant other for the first time? I actually didn't have a job in New York, so I was going out on a whim a little bit to move back.
That was a great day.
Yeah.
It was a very great day. I mean, yeah, there was the job thing, which we had to work through and figuring that out. And you luckily you were able to figure that out. But I think I, at that point, knew for sure that I wanted to live with you. Mm-hmm. I think I was even kind of there before you moved to Chicago, but I don't think you were there yet. And I think that's a pattern that exists a lot of times.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of times, like, when guys know, they know. They're so black and white. But girls, they kind of live in that gray area of just like, oh, am I doing the right thing? I think I am. I'm not sure. And it's like, I'm sure I was toying with Brett unintentionally back and forth, because I think, yeah, you were ready to move in with me before I moved to Chicago.
Yeah, I kind of knew, I guess, when you put it that way. And so at that point, I had really, you know, wanted to move in together, and when you said you wanted to move back and we had the conversation about moving in together, it was a great day.
Yeah, and I think the thing too is, like, even though I was the one who was gonna have to figure out my job and, like, the lease and everything, I think you were, like, always like, no, we'll figure it out, it's gonna be okay, because we'll figure it out together. And I feel like that's something that's so important in a relationship, of not making the other person feel like they have to, like, carry the whole burden. Like, you know, it was a joint decision that we were making, and, like, I don't know, I felt just, like, very safe that, like, it was gonna be okay, because we were gonna figure it out regardless. So that felt really good. Yeah, we moved in together. We lived together, I think, for about, I think we were, you know, my mom was asking, Brett's mom was asking, okay, so you're living together, you know, what does that mean? And I think we had told them, we'll live together for a year, we'll see how it goes, we'll see how we feel. And then we'll start talking about longer term things after that, depending on how that first year goes. So was there ever anything in the first year that, like, shocked you about living together, or was it kind of just, you know, exactly what you thought?
I wouldn't say there was anything shocking. I think it goes back to the point a second ago. Like, it was kind of easy. I mean, in a sense, we had already spent, you know, a lot of time together. We did a thing where there's some more backstory here, which is, like, Catherine, like, always was at my apartment when we were in our first, you know, banking job. And, you know, so we had all that. I also actually lived at Catherine's house during the deep depths of COVID,
goodness,
which we kind of just skipped over here.
Yeah, we packed our bags one weekend. We thought we were going home Friday to Sunday, and we never went back to the
right.
state.
We thought we were just going home for the weekend for COVID, and I'm sure a lot of people have similar experiences. And turns out I spent a month with her family, living with her family, so we got really close. All of us got really close during that time.
Both my parents are doctors, so I remember we got home that weekend, and my mom was like, you're not going back because social distancing. And that's the first time I had ever heard anyone say social distancing, and Brett and I were like, no, you don't know. And she was definitely right. We did not go back. But yeah, that was a great experience. And then we had lived in the city together, actually, just like during the depths of COVID, just us two in your apartment for 6 months or something like that. So we kind of already lived together.
Yeah, that's right. And it kind of felt like an extension of that. It was easy. I already knew you. I mean, you learn more about people in terms of their little habits and their, you know, how clean they are, and, you know, just you learn a lot of little things. But there were no red flags, clearly.
It was really easy. And I actually think on that topic, something that people were asking is, like, how we split up responsibilities once we moved in together. Because obviously, you know, we're living together. How we split up who is, like, managing different things in the household. And I think it's different now because we have a dog. And, like, one of the main things is taking care of Lucy. But we definitely talked. Lucy is, like, just sitting on the couch in between us as we record this podcast. She could not be happier. Her happy space is on the couch in between her parents. She's just loving it. But, you know, that's something that we had to talk about a lot, too, before we got the dog. Like, you know, I obviously work from home. Brett works in the office 5 days a week. So I think there are things, like, I think we both, you know, understand and, like, share the same viewpoint that we want to contribute 50-50 to the relationship, but that 50-50 isn't like, oh, Brett takes care of the dog 50% of the time, I take care of the dog 50% of the time. Like, that 50-50 split is amongst very different things. So I think people were kind of wondering, like, how we decided who would handle what different tasks around the household.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Like, it's not like you divide up everything exactly evenly. It's like, you know, maybe I'm paying for a few more dinners or we're contributing to different things, and we both recognize our contribution, whatever that contribution is, and we try to keep that in balance. And I think we do a really, really good job of that. So back before we had Lucy, back before the dog, I mean, I thought we were very even in terms of everything, household, everything else. Now that we have Lucy, Catherine is definitely contributing, and I don't know, I feel like, you know, you're definitely and you're work from home and whatnot, and so you're definitely contributing way more to, you know, different things around the house, than I am, and thank you for that.
But Brett is kind of like, I explained, it's like, you're kind of the, you have the broader scope, so if there's anything related to, like, planning trips, traveling, planning dinners, you know, making sure all the Uber and transportation are ready, like, my head is too far in the clouds to deal with any of that. Like, you hold the fort down on that end, whereas I feel like I handle a lot more of the day-to-day with Lucy, the day-to-day with, like, making sure, like, we have, like, everything stocked for the apartment, toilet paper, shampoo, like, making sure, like, we get the sheets clean, kind of, like, all of that stuff, which I just find easier and enjoy more, and I think you kind of enjoy more of the, like, planning stuff.
Yeah, I think you put it really well. And, like, things are, like, finances. Like, the other day we were going through just, like, finances and, like, financial planning, like, boring stuff. But
and I don't want
like
to deal with it.
Yeah. You don't want to deal with that. I like doing that. And so there's, you know, different contributions like that. And so,
And I think it's just important to, like, just level set and make sure you guys both have the understanding of that. So it's like, I'm not sitting here expecting, oh, Brett, you didn't empty the dishwasher 50% of the time this week, I'm mad at you. Like, that's just not how we think about things. And I think it's important to understand, like, different people are going to have different contributions, and, like, also not make the other person feel bad for not being able to do something because they're, like, at work or something like that. Like, I think that is, you know, talking, and we've had many conversations about this too, but just making sure you're both within the same understanding of, like, what you are contributing.
Yeah, I think fundamentally, both of us want to be contributing. Neither one of us are, like, the sort of people that want to just, like, be a free rider and have everything taken care of for them. We're both very independent people, and we want to feel like we're contributing. And so that kind of, at its core, drives us both contributing to the household and kind of...
Absolutely, and I think that's more of just, like, that's our personality, and I'm like, I cannot relate when people are like, oh, this guy doesn't do any of this. I'm like, that Brett, he's like up before I am, like washing the dishes, taking the dog out, going for a run. Then he's waking me up and he's like, I'm on my way to work. And he just woke me up. So Brett literally does it all, which is amazing. So I, and also he does take such good care of Lucy. I've been traveling the past couple weekends and Lucy's just gone to stay with her dad and she absolutely adores Brett, which is
quality father daughter time.
It's so cute to see. Anyway, so yeah, that's a little bit of kind of backstory, how we got started, deciding to move in together. So then after that, you know, we've lived together for a year or so, year and a half, and we do start talking more seriously about, okay, where do we see this going? Kind of, I think at that time we were both aligned, like we wanted to get married at some point, but we just didn't really know what the appropriate timing was. We were trying to still figure out all those details, but we started talking about marriage a bit more seriously. I think before that we had like touched on it, but never really sat down and were like, okay, like we have to be more serious about this now if we, you know, actually.
Well, there was a point when we sat down and said we were going to.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's important too, because it's like, I think a lot of movies like paint marriage as, or engagement, is like, oh my God, it's so shocking. Like, I had no idea we were going to get engaged, but in real life, you probably, I mean, I think most people probably, you know, sit down and talk about it. It's a huge step in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you've sat down and talked about it. I feel like if someone proposed just out of the blue, it's almost a red flag.
It's like, that's a red flag. But yeah, I think that's
that something. Being said, I did surprise you with the engagement.
He did surprise me with the engagement day, and he's about to tell that story. But yeah, I think also, I'm just trying throughout this podcast, trying to kind of like touch on things that I think have been like really helpful in our relationship and why it's been so healthy. And I think something that we really do have is open communication. So there, I think there have been times where, you know, we've just talked about things that are tough to talk about, and also talked about, you know, things that are serious to talk about, like getting engaged and getting married and, you know, how, you know, where we want to live and how we want to, you know, handle finances and stuff like that. And those are conversations that you do have to have. And I don't think you should really ever be wondering, like, if your significant other's on the same page as you, like, you need to talk about it, which is really important.
Yeah, communication is critical.
Absolutely. So, all right, this is kind of the piece de resistance of the whole episode here, but the people need to know, how did you plan this engagement without me finding out? Because there's a lot of things that go into that. You have to find the perfect ring, you have to find the perfect spot, the photographer. Like, how did you do that without me knowing?
Yeah, I'll say, as a man, this is one of the more stressful things I think you go through. We had, okay, so setting the stage, we had discussed that we wanted to get married. So we knew that that was coming. We knew that that is something we wanted. That being said, I wanted it to be a genuine surprise. I don't really know why, but I wanted it to be a genuine surprise, like make it a very genuine moment, not overly kind of planned, not overly choreographed. And so I kind of prepared the ring in secret. So touching on that first, like Catherine went with her sister to try on rings, and so kind of got an idea of what she wanted and sizes she wanted. And then I worked closely with her sister, Elizabeth, in figuring out, you know, what the right sort of ring and size was going to be. Thank God for Liz. She helped me a lot through the whole process. So there was the ring, and that was, you know, part one. But the big part was actually planning the day and planning how you're going to actually propose. And I knew I wanted to do it kind of around the holidays so that we could celebrate with family thereafter. So I decided on doing it, you know, right before Christmas. And in order to false flag and like really throw Catherine off the trail, I told her that, you know, the proposal wouldn't be coming until after like January or later. Basically, the way it works in like investment banking and private equity is you like get a year-end bonus. And I basically told her that, you know, I'm not going to get my bonus until January. Like, that's just how it works at my current company.
And I was super bummed.
And she was super bummed. So I was like, I can't, you know, I can't propose. I can't get you a ring until I get that bonus. And so she's thinking, okay, so he can't even buy the ring until he gets the bonus in January, which means we're not getting, probably not getting engaged until the spring or February or something, right?
Yeah.
And, that was one of the, that was one of the, Lucy's acting up right now, by the way.
Lucy is like scratching at the couch. She wants to play.
Yeah.
This is the thing, like Labradoodles, oh my, like she's pissed right now.
She also, you're not supposed to say the P-L-A-Y word.
Oh, I said P-L-A-Y out loud, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Like these dogs are like children, but Labradoodles in particular are so energetic. So be careful if you want to get one for the city. I mean, Lucy is perfect, but we do have to run her. Luckily, we have a dog run in our building. So we will literally just chuck that ball back and forth until she basically falls over.
Which we're going to have to do here shortly. So hopefully she can make it through the remaining. But hold on.
You have the ring, right? But you have to figure out, like, so we were actually on Long Island the week before Christmas, but you wanted to do the proposal in the city. And kind of tell them how you got me back to the city, because that was a struggle.
It was not an easy task. So first off, I got a photographer that it was going to do, like, secret photos. If you haven't seen them yet, I'm sure Catherine's posted them.
Yeah, I did post them. I'll have to resurface them. But people were like, this guy definitely moonlights as a private investigator, because these photos, he was in the trees. Like,
you know, I thought they were really cute, but I got a lot of feedback that was like, this is kind of creepy.
It's kind of creepy. He's, like, watching through the trees.
Regardless, it's great that we have the photos. And so planning all that, and I wanted to do it in Central Park, I had decided. I wanted to do something outdoorsy, something where we were running. I mean, running is one of the core things that we both have in common, and one of the things we bonded over in, you know, the early part of our relationship. And so I knew I wanted to do something involving running outdoors. I decided on Central Park because Central Park actually, it's really meaningful to us. During the deep depths of COVID, once again, when we were living together, temporarily during COVID in the city, this is when the city was dead, no one was there, like, it was creepy, it was eerie. We would go on runs to kind of clear our heads, you know, you're caught up inside all day, there's social distancing, you're not seeing other people. We would go on runs in Central Park to clear our heads. And I feel like that was a real bonding experience for us, you know, during the deep depths of COVID. And then also when Catherine had moved to Chicago, what I would do is on Sundays, you know, I'd be missing her, obviously, and we'd call and we'd talk on Sunday. And after our conversation, I'd go on a run in Central Park. And so there was this sort of, like, deeper meaning for me as well with running in the park.
Yeah, and I remember we would call every night. So we'd call Sunday night, and you would tell me about your run in the park. And I would just remember being so jealous. But, I mean, obviously Chicago is amazing. Like, you get to run right along Lake Michigan, Lakeshore Drive. But it just could never replace Central Park for me. Obviously, like, I'm from New York, too, so... That's also why I feel like the New York Marathon is so meaningful to me. But yeah, nothing could replace Central Park. And I know a lot of New Yorkers share that same love for Central Park, because it's kind of like that one slice of the city where you have to yourself, and, like, there's no buildings, and, like, you can just be free.
All right.
But
back to the story. So we're on Long Island the week before Christmas with her family. I make up that my computer's broken, or I have to take it into the office, physically take it into the office, so that IT can take my computer and fix it, right? that was, like, what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, Friday morning, Catherine didn't sleep very much. I think you were working late, actually.
We were both working really late the night before.
We were. It was not very relaxing, unfortunately. No. And we're not on very much sleep. I wake up Catherine, like, hey, we got to go to the city. My computer's broken, gotta take it in, like, we gotta go right now. It's cold out, it's, like, freezing rain. The weather did really not work out for this whole thing, but we made it work. I made it work. And so she is not super happy about this, is that fair to say?
I'm not a morning person either. So, like, all of these things stacked on top of each other, and then Brett's like, it's pouring freezing rain. You've had, like, 5 hours of sleep. We have to drive back to the city to, like, get my computer fixed by IT. Like, none of this sounds fun to me.
No.
And then we got in the car. We're in the car. We're on the highway. And Brett turns to me and goes, oh, my gosh. This is so bad. IT can't meet me till this afternoon. But we're already in the car, so let's just go to the city. And I was fuming.
Yeah, so I'm setting myself up for success here.
Like, I'm pissed at Brett.
On the bright side, it's a very easy, like, false flag. Like, she had no idea. She was just angry about the whole thing. And so I had, obviously, there was no IT computer issue at all, but I needed to get us into the city in the morning, and so that's what I used. And then I said, oh, we'll, like, talk to him in the afternoon. So we get into the city. We're at the apartment, and
I have to add this part. Okay. We're walking up to our apartment, and we live on the west side, right on the west side. We, like, can't even stand in the street without the wind gust blowing us over. Like, we're just trying to get into this apartment. If you guys have ever ran on the west side or live on the west side, you know the wind tunnels that get there are just crazy. And then we get up to our apartment, and Brett goes, we should go for a run. And I was like, the audacity that this man has this morning.
There's so much more background, too. I, historically speaking, was not a big fan of running in inclement weather. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I've changed a bit since then.
And we would pretty much never run together at that point. So this whole thing was, like, weird.
Yeah, we rarely ran together. And I was not a big fan of running when the weather was like it was.
Yeah. The only thing that I could chalk it up to was, like, Brett literally works 7 days a week and he had the day off. And I was like, maybe he's, like, so high because he has the day off. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. So I just wanted to, like, I wanted to make you happy.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And you know how I got her over the hump was I said, you can make a really cute TikTok. You can do a before and after, cute outfit. And Catherine was like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And that's how I got her over
the
hump. The
way to my heart, TikTok.
I'm going on a run in Central Park in this disgusting weather. That's.
And I just reposted that TikTok on my Instagram last night if you guys want to check it out. So cute.
It's great because I knew the whole time of what was happening.
Brett obviously knew the whole time, and like I'm just like shook towards the end. You have to watch a video.
So fast forward. Well, meanwhile, we're running super late. I have the photographer set up at a certain time. We're running late. Catherine, in general, if you guys don't know, tends to run a bit late for things, but also it's disgusting weather out, and there's no reason for her to be moving fast, and I can't rush her too much, otherwise it'll be like even more suspicious than it already was. So anyway, we're running super late. We make it up to Central Park, finally, and we go on a run. We loop the park.
No, but here's the thing that you're leaving out, too. Like, you were like, we have to get off at this very specific subway stop and, like, run this very specific loop. I'm like, at this point, like, I've been going up to Central Park 5 times a week because that's where my run club meets. I'm like, why don't we just go to Columbus Circle and just run the loop like every normal person does? Like, we're getting off at, like, 81st Street on the blah. I'm like, what is going on?
I'm pretty sure I said because of the weather we need to go up to 81st.
Like, the weather's better at 81st than 59th.
Just, I don't know how you bought all
this. I think I was just so tired that I just, like, was like, whatever. Like, if he wants to go to 81st Street, sure. Like, I just don't care.
It's so, that was funny.
Yeah.
So we go on a run. It's gross, but it wasn't too bad. It was raining.
It got worse and worse throughout the day.
It did get worse and worse. We made it across the loop. So it was basically one loop of Central Park, and then we were going to stop. And I was going to do it. The photographer was set up and everything in this, like, little wooded area. I think it's called the Ramble in Central Park. And there's, like, a little creek there. You know, it's great. And we looped the park. Sorry, Catherine's computer is dying right now. So she's
Okay, we're good.
We're professionals.
We're professionals here.
So we looped the park, and I fake an injury in order to get us to stop.
Well, Brett, it wasn't, like, you were, like, wheezing. You're like... Oh, something feels really weird. But this wasn't actually part of your plan, but a couple weeks before that, you had been complaining about, I can't even remember what it was, but it was like something weird. Like, you know, runners, you guys get it. There's always, you know, some weird, like, twitch that your body's doing, and it goes away in like a couple days. But you had said something a couple days prior, and I was like, okay, like maybe there is really something weird going on with him. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, this man runs 5-10 days a week, and now we're running 4 miles, and he's wheezing?
I think I said I'm out of breath.
I feel like, I'm out of breath. Like, I think we need to walk for a little
bit. We ran, like, a 10-minute mile around the park, and I was out of breath.
We were just easy running.
Yeah.
We got to, like, 4 miles. So at this point, I'm like, Brett, drag me to the park. We're not coming to the park to run 4 miles. Like, we're running the full loop. There's just, you know, like, that's how I am. Like, we're up here, we're doing the loop. And you were like... Okay, no, we'll finish. We just need to walk for 10 minutes. And I was like...
She probably starts getting suspicious at this point, because I was like, let's walk to this wooded area.
Let's walk. Well, you say let's walk, and I don't know it. I still actually, at this point, truthfully didn't know anything, because we're still on the, like, the normal, like, road path. But then we start going into, like, the little wooded path. The Ramble, I guess it's called. And now I'm hyperventilating, because that was the first moment when we went off the street that I was like... Oh no. Like, so what are you, like, what thoughts?
And I started saying, like, very nice things.
Very nice things. Like, there's an ulterior motive.
You're like, something's going on here.
Happening.
So finally she's onto it, and I think that's kind of the story.
But what was, like, going through your, like, are you, like, I have to, because I don't even know if I've ever asked you this, but are you practicing your lines? Are you just freaking out? Is your mind blank? Like, what is going through your mind right before a man is about to propose?
Internally, you're freaking out. I was freaking out a bit. But I was also, like, kind of riding this, like, high energy. Right. And you'll see it in, like, the story you posted in the video.
It's funny because I say, oh, my gosh, my feet are soaking wet, my blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Brett, how are you feeling? He goes, I'm feeling great.
Yeah, I'm clearly riding this sort of crazy high energy. But you're super stressed at the same time. It's really adrenaline. I think you just have adrenaline coursing through your veins because this is just such a massive moment
and
in your life, in both of your lives.
You're running with, like, a really expensive ring in your pocket.
Oh, yeah, we
in
we brushed over that,
ring.
Too. I'm wearing a rain jacket, but there is a nice...
It's bouncing up. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But anyway,
and there was practicing of lines, too, because I knew kind of what I wanted to say once we started walking. And
actually, yeah, had you practiced the proposal before that day?
Yes, I had. I had definitely practiced the lines. I had written them out. I had, like, practiced them. Not, like, crazy, but I definitely had. Also, I had gone to the site, like, 4 times the week before. This is a sidebar. But I would wake up super early in the morning and just leave and tell Catherine, oh, I have an early morning meeting. So I'd leave before she wakes up, Uber to Central Park, and just, like, because I had to figure out the route and where I was going to do it and everything. So I went, like, 4 days the week before. And
yeah, and I remember just being, like, so mad at Brett's work. Because I'm like, oh, my God, they're making you get up so early for these meetings.
Little did you know.
But, that's commitment. I mean, girls, if you're not getting a man who is going to Central Park practicing 4 times before your proposal, you don't want him. But it was perfect.
Practice makes perfect, babe.
Yeah. I remember, from my perspective, was kind of like, I feel like I almost blacked out. Because I think I've never been somebody who's, like, been crazy about picturing my proposal or picturing my wedding. But once you are in a relationship where you're like, okay, I think this is kind of coming, this is a possibility, you do start to have these, like, preconceived notions in your mind of, like, what it's going to be like and what it's going to feel like. And I think when it actually starts happening, you're like, oh my God. Like, I've been thinking about this for so long that it's, like, almost feels fake that it's real. Like, I can't explain it, but it was like, my heart, I wish I could see my heart rate during that time, because we were standing still and my heart rate was probably, like, 150 just through the roof.
Yeah, you were excited, but you were certainly having a panic attack.
I was having a panic attack. Because it's like, oh, I think there's a lot of pressure on almost, like, wanting it to be this perfect moment that you've dreamt of for so long. And so you start freaking out of, like, okay, like, I need to make sure I say the right thing. I need to make sure I act the right way, do the right thing. And it's like, it's, I don't know. I kind of like the way that you did it, because there was no pressure. Like, it wasn't like we were in a restaurant where there were other people, like, really watching. I didn't know that we had a photographer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that, I think, was, like, made it very pure. Like, I wasn't staged.
And that was my goal.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there were a couple people, like, up on, like, a little, like, ledge that, like, after I said yes, they're clapping for us. I was like...
Some random tourists.
But they were so... It's so cute. Yeah. Every time people get engaged in the park, everyone's so happy. So...
It was a great moment. And then, thereafter, we just kind of strolled. We made all the calls to everyone. We stayed in a nice hotel that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was, like, it was crazy for me because, obviously, Brett, you know, had been planning this day for months at this point. But there are not many days where you wake up and you have completely no idea that, like, your life is going to change that day. You know?
That must be crazy for you.
Yeah.
Like, I had premeditated everything.
Yeah.
I knew that our lives were going to change dramatically, but you had no idea. I mean, you knew at some point it was going to happen, but just for it to happen like that.
Yeah, I mean, it just, your whole life just kind of changes in one day. And it's almost like, even though we had been living together, it is an identity shift of, like, okay, no, like, we're engaged now. We're going to get married. Like, it is an identity shift, I think.
Yeah, it is. Luckily, we had a year and a half pre-wedding. I feel like we changed even since the engagement. We
Absolutely.
Got engaged over a year ago now.
We got engaged, 13 months ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. But I think, so I had asked people again on my story, you know, some questions they wanted us to go through. So I'm going to go through those now, but we can do, not maybe not rapid fire, but we'll wrap up with some questions. But we've been living together for almost 3 years. We've been together for almost 5 years. What are you looking forward to about being married that you feel like, you know, is going to be different, I guess, than our lives now?
I don't know that I'm expecting it to be dramatically different. I think we've been living together for a couple of years. I think we've been together for quite a while. And
Brett, I think, like, as a finance guy, you're really overlooking the tax benefits here.
Gavin's making fun of me because I'll often say that, you know, this is great, you know, from a tax perspective. Yeah. But, and that's the reason we're getting married. No, obviously not. Obviously not. But, no, I mean, wait, where were we?
I think, just talking about being married. And it's hard because I think for a while I was like, well, what's the difference? We're going to get married and then we're going to come home and we're going to still be doing the same thing we were just doing. But
And you kind of are, but I think there is a mindset shift to it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
I don't want to call it permanence, but there's just sort of like, there's this mindset shift where like, this is the long haul. Like, you're now really partners for life.
Yeah.
And you're building your lives together. And you kind of get that over time, living together and being together for a long time. But I think there's a shift that comes with being actually married. But it's going to be, like, the same on a day-to-day. Like, it's not going to be dramatically different on a day-to-day, I don't think.
I totally agree with you. I think, like, for me, it's almost like that is the, like, final step of, like, putting your ultimate trust in another person. And, like, having joint bank accounts and, like, making all joint decisions together. Like, when you are...
You're my beneficiary.
For his life insurance. Better not kill him. Or maybe I should.
Let this stand as evidence for any future.
Yeah, if anyone needs this for litigation. But, yeah, I think for me it's, like, yeah, just going that one extra step and, like, putting your ultimate trust in that other person and committing to making all your decisions together, which is so different. You know, growing up your whole life, you're taught to, like, always do what's best for you and, like, just always think about what you need. But it's such a shift of, no, we're living life together now. And, you know, realistically, there are going to be some areas that we differ on in what we want. You have to figure out a way to come together and make a mutual decision that's going to work for the both of you. And, like, even in terms of, we talk about a lot about moving somewhere and, like, having to have that work for the both of us. I think it's tricky, but I think that's what makes it, like, worth it. And, like, that commitment to always making decisions together.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Boom.
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 And tax benefits. Okay. So,
what do we got? What's next?
Okay, pros and cons of dating someone who works in the same industry as you. So I guess, like, we both met at work, we both work in finance. I work in corporate strategy now, and Brett works in private equity, but...
Yeah, and we can talk about that, too.
Yeah.
But I think at the time that we were both in, like, the high finance world, investment banking, I think there's a lot of pros to both people doing the same thing, and that you are very understanding when the other person has their weekend interrupted by a last-minute work assignment, or they're, you know, constantly on phone calls, constantly on meetings. You understand that you're not going to be spending that much personal time, honestly, together during the week. I mean, there's weeks we go by and, like, we're talking to each other, but we're not really talking to each other. We're not really present as much as we'd like to be in terms of the relationship because we're so present with, you know, so busy with work. And then, yeah, you can have weekends blown up and things like that. And so I think there's an understanding you get from both. You know, that's a pro of both working the same career. Con is that we're both so busy all the time,
yeah,
and schedules might not miss. Like, I could have a weekend where I don't have any work to do and she's blown up that weekend. And so that is a bit of a con, I think.
Yeah, but I do think the pros outweigh the cons in that, like, I do think a lot of what brought us together was, like, grinding those late nights,
mm-hmm,
together, like, working until 2 a.m. Thankfully, we're kind of out of the woods with that a little bit now, of, like, those first couple years of banking that were, like, really, really grind, like,
yeah,
working from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. I mean, honestly, psychotic. But I do think, like, that, like, made us understand each other more, and I think got me through that time period, too. I also think it is fun to be able to, like, go out to dinner and kind of, you call it, like, quote-unquote talk shop, but just kind of, like, talk finance, and, like, I think it is something that we are both interested in, so it's fun to be able to do that too.
I'll still talk shop at you, and you don't pick it up as well anymore.
Well, now Brett has, you know, these grand visions for Fast and Flow, so he's, like, the business mind behind it, you know. So I love that. I'm like, yes, tell me all about how I will succeed. And that kind of tied into another question of, like, how to handle living with someone who works so many hours. But I again think because we started in a very similar job, we just have so much respect for it.
Yeah.
And I think what people maybe don't see is, like, I work, just because my corporate job isn't, like, as many hours as Brett, like, I am always working.
Yeah, we have a very core underlying, like, very similar mindset and philosophy.
Yeah.
And I think us meeting each other in banking was, you know, it it shows that how hardworking we are, that we got to that point, that we're there, that we're grinding, that we want to succeed in our careers. And so that is something that we had, like, core value in common, is, you know, our ability to work hard and get the job done, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of during the week. I feel like we are just working, but we're really good about during the weekends, like, kind of clearing our schedule and just being with each other. Like, we literally didn't see anyone else this weekend from Friday through Sunday. We just spend time with each other, which is, like, so important when you're working a lot during the week. So it's not always like that. Like, we do obviously see our friends a lot, but I think, like, we'll set an intention on, like, Monday of, okay, we want to do a date night on Friday. Like, we're pretty good about doing a date night every single Friday.
I think we're very intentional, and when we're together, I think we're typically very present when we're together.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like,
you need to get the most out of those moments.
Yeah, like, not looking at your phone at the dinner table and, like, really being together.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. Okay, Brett, how do you handle all of my different hobbies? Like, the people on Instagram see it. I'm always doing something different. I'm becoming an instructor. I'm, like, you know, starting a new training plan. I feel like I always have, I have the podcast, I have the Instagram, I have my job, we've got Lucy, we've got the wedding planning, like, there's all these things.
Happy wife equals happy life. And I take the, and I take the approach of saying, yes, dear, that sounds like a great idea. I know, I try to be very supportive. Any life, any career, you know, path, it's all a journey. There's ups, there's downs, there's ebbs, there's flows. And you're someone that likes to try a lot of different things, like, really, like, spread your wings. And I think I'll occasionally pick my moments where I'll be like, hey, like, maybe you've spread yourself a little too thin. And I have to tread a little carefully in those conversations. But I think you're pretty receptive to that when I do, like, when we do talk about that. But for the most part, I think I'm supportive, right?
Yeah, very, very supportive. And, like, I feel like you just make me believe that I can do anything, too, which is probably why I'm also like, yeah, I can do this. Which is awesome. Like, you definitely want to have someone like that. I feel like when we first met, too, and I was so insecure about, I had never worked in investment banking. I didn't know any Excel formulas. You were like, no, you're so smart. You're so capable. Like, you're going to pick this up so quickly. And, like, even just going all the way back to that, those, like, first couple weeks when I didn't believe in myself, like, you always believed in me, which has not changed at all and probably just has increased over time. Okay, we can't get too sappy. What annoyances about each other do you tolerate? You go first.
Well, I've already mentioned this one. Catherine, and you're wonderful. You're terrific.
You're wonderful, dear.
Catherine is late to everything. Really everything. And she's made me become late to everything because we're traveling to everything together. So I think that's kind of one of them. And it's not the end of the world, but at times it can be pretty annoying. For sure.
Yeah. No, I'm working on it because it's not respectful to be late. So that's been a problem that I've been working on. But anyway, Brett, I honestly don't know. The one thing, it's like, I think maybe this bothers me more than other people, but Brett will just leave his nails.
Oof.
Like, on my desk.
I'm getting roasted.
That's, come on, Brett.
I know.
That's
such an interesting. So I bite my nails and it drives Catherine crazy.
Yeah, he bites his nails.
Occasionally she'll find a nail lying around and it's just not.
That's, like, so menial, yeah, but.
It's gross.
It is.
I will stop that.
Okay. What's your favorite thing about each other? I can go first on
this
one.
You go first.
So I think for Brett, obviously we've talked a lot about, you know, him working a lot of hours, us both working a lot of hours. But something that Brett is incredibly good at is having this off switch. So when it's time to be with family, be with friends, like, first of all, family is probably, not probably, I think is the number one most important thing to you. And, like, you've made that very clear. And that's also something that, like, is very attractive to me in terms of wanting to get married and start a family together. You're so good at being so present when, like, it's not time to work, we're done with that, you flip a switch and you're like, I'm so present here with my friends, with my family, with me. Like, you're so intentional about the way that you spend your time, and even your New Year's resolutions will be about wanting to spend more time with your sisters. And, like, I'm like, I don't know anyone else who makes New Year's resolutions. Like, it's just so pure, and, like, how loving you are towards your family is probably one of my favorite things.
I love that. I mean, just quickly touching on that before I do yours, I think relationships and the people in your life are critical to, like, living, like, a happy, meaningful life. And I also think, you know, commitment to career, commitment to a cause, and, like, just dedication and, like, that, and, like, pursuing your passion, like, that's all critical. But you need to balance that with, like, really healthy relationships, and that's something I definitely strive to do. for you, I think my favorite, what was the question again?
What is your favorite thing about each other?
I'll tell you what Catherine inspires me on a daily basis, and it really comes down to Catherine left the world of high finance and left investment banking to pursue really her passion. And at the time, you know, she moved over to corporate strategy, and you know, now she obviously has this amazing social media presence, and this podcast, and she really saw what her passion was. She loved running, she loved fitness, she loved helping other people. She saw all of that and made the active decision to, okay, goodbye, at least in the short term, goodbye, you know, short-term money, monetary gain, you know, put your ego aside, which ego is a part of it, it absolutely is a part of it, and left that whole world, the world I'm still in, by the way, and left that whole world to pursue her passion, and she's doing it right here, right now. And that, at its core, is kind of a good example of who she is in terms of how passionate she is and how driven she is and how she's going to pursue her passion at all costs. And that is incredibly inspiring to me every day.
That's so sweet. I'm like tearing up. I tear up at like everything. I've teared up so many times this podcast just talking about running and like, yeah, what I'm passionate about. But, and I do, like what you said, it's not easy to, you know, first of all, I feel very fortunate to be in a position where I'm able to say, hey, I'm going to step away from this job where I'm going to make more money and actually go after something that I really believe in. Like, I feel extremely fortunate to be in a position where I'm able to do that. But because I'm in that position, I feel even more compelled to take advantage of it because not everyone has that opportunity. And if I'm presented with that opportunity, like, I have to take it. And don't get me wrong, I work really, really, really hard. Probably work harder than I did in banking because things are uncertain now. Like, I have to make this happen for myself, whereas, like, when you're just, you know, in a big institution, you just kind of follow along the path. So, thank you for recognizing that, and yeah, I'm so glad that I'm able to.
Also, I'm quitting my job tomorrow and launching a social media business.
Perfect. I think maybe keep your job for now. Okay. I think we're going to end off. This podcast is getting a little bit long, but we're going to end off. Actually, people did like the long-form podcast last week, so I hope you guys enjoyed this one as well, but we're going to end up with one last question here, and we'll both answer it. But how did you know that they were the one? I think people really want to know that. Like, people are in relationships, like, in their 20s, dating people, especially in the city, trying to figure out if this person is their person. Like, was there a moment that you knew? When did you know?
I don't think, I'm not a big prescriber that the idea of that there's a single moment that you know someone is the one is like often how it happens. Maybe that happens for some people, but I think it's more of like a progressive thing. Like, you kind of realize it over time, as you continue to get close with a person and you continue going through life experiences together, and we've come through our fair share. That over time is how you reaffirm the idea that, like, wow, this person is the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with. So I don't really think there was like one shooting gun moment that I can point to. We obviously, from the early days of banking and whatever, we had the running, we had the desire to get better every day and all these other things, like these core underlying values that we were very, very aligned on. And so you kind of need that as like a foundation, which we had already, but I wouldn't say it was kind of a progressive thing over time. What do you
think? Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's like, it's almost like if you're waiting for that one, shooting gun moment, you're probably not going to get it. That's not how, at least it works for us.
Maybe it happens for, I'm sure it happens for some people, but.
Yeah, but I think like all we knew about romance were from movies, and movies are so over-dramatized. Like, it's not really, again, like with the person being so shocked that they like got proposed to, it's like.
Granted, I did propose to you in the rain in Central Park and you were shocked. That was a little.
That was a movie moment.
Yeah, that was a movie.
That was a movie moment, but. You know what I mean? I think it's like, yeah, it's like, again, over time, it's like, okay, I think that this person, like, even I think a couple weeks in, I was like, oh, this could, you know, go somewhere. But you don't.
It's kind of like, you know, like, this could be.
Yeah.
Like, this person could be.
But you don't know them enough yet.
No.
So you have to keep, you know, living life with them and just keep revealing, like, everything about them until you feel like, okay, I know this person enough to, like, and I know myself enough. I think a lot of it, too, is like, it's not even people being like, oh, I'm not sure about the other person. It's like, they're not sure if they can trust themselves. They're not sure if they know what they want. And it's like, you have to know yourself and know what you want and be able to voice that to someone else too, to make sure that you guys are both on the same page. So I think a lot of it too is about just like making sure that you're doing what's right for you. And then kind of the rest will become super clear, in my opinion. But yeah, and I also think just the fact that it's always been easy. And not easy in like, oh, we've never had problems and we've never had to work through things, but it's like, it feels like seamless. I always feel like supported in working through things because we're together, not like hampered by the fact that we're together. It's just always
right,
been
I feel
easier.
Like we've said this from the beginning. It us being together, it felt like we make each other better.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing.
Yeah, like my life is better because you're here. It's better than it could have been without you. Which is like, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how I would explain it, which is...
And I hope everyone has that same
I hope everyone has that. Like, and I hope... I hope that this also made people realize that, like, I think that should be the standard. And I think that you should talk about everything. You should be really aligned with your partner. And, like, you shouldn't have to fight for, like, somebody treating you well, you know? Like, that should be the standard. And that is possible. And there are people out there. Brett is a unicorn a little bit. He's great.
Just so well said.
Just so well put. But anyway, I think that about wraps it up. We'll obviously, you know, we'll keep looping Brett into the podcast after we get married, and after we're married for a little bit, we'll have to update you guys on how married life is, how the wedding Ooh. Went. All right,
you're running bestie. Signing off.
Yeah, Brett's trying to sign us off. But I did have to say that we're going to France and Switzerland for our honeymoon because someone was asking where we were going. So...
We are.
Yeah.
It's booked. It's happening. We're very excited.
I've been to France once. You've never been. Neither of us have been to Switzerland.
No, we're going to do southern French coast. We're going to hike in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I'm so excited. But anyway, so we'll keep you guys in the loop. Definitely follow along on Instagram and TikTok because I post a lot more frequently there. But yeah, we'll keep you guys updated on Brett's running journey as well. And I really appreciate everyone tuning in today. And with that, I'll see you guys next week. Bye.